What you have to understand is this is not the end of this. There was a huge amount of money and resources put by liberals into these cases. There was another case in Wisconsin making the same argument. That's now going to move into the state courts, and they're now going to try to use state constitutional provisions to make the same argument, which is why in states that elect state court judges, the left is now pouring huge amounts of money into winning those races because they want to get judges in place who will do what they want on this. So there are two ways you can be sued. One is, and by the way, you all should know, the idea that this is a political question is something, that was a position of the Supreme Court, you know, until the early 1960s. And then in a series of cases, they established the one person, one vote rule. That's in the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. And they created it out of whole cloth. You know, you can look at the 14th Amendment, it doesn't say one person, one vote. They just created this. And what that means is you can be sued under the 14th Amendment for violating the one person, one vote standard if your districts don't have a population as equal as possible. For congressional districts, that means, I mean, if the populations have to be almost exactly equal from one district to another. Now, for a long time, the court has given a lesser rule for state legislative districts. They had what we would call kind of a 10% rule. Because states, you know, have different rules on compactness, keeping counties together, the court was a little more lenient in saying you could have up to a 10% waiver in the populations between different districts. That waiver isn't entirely free, and you can't just do whatever you want. And the best example of this, Lynn, I think, is going to talk about a case in Georgia, the Larios case, where when the Democrats control the state legislature, they systematically underpopulated urban districts, which were Democratic districts, and they systematically overpopulated rural Republican districts, still within the 10%, in order to be able to retain control despite not having the strength, you know, statewide to do that. A court found that to be a violation of the one person, one vote standard. So even there's a limit on it. The other way you can be sued is under the Voting Rights Act. Now, Section 5 of the Act is fortunately no longer there. That was the preclearance provision that a small number of states, including Texas, had to go through to make any changes. So what you're going to get sued under is Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Section 2 is nationwide, it's permanent, and it bans racial discrimination in the voting context. When it comes to redistricting, it prevents you from engaging in what's called vote dilution. And vote dilution is looked at individuals who are a minority in a particular area not being able to elect their candidate of choice. Now, I haven't trademarked this yet, but I've come up to describe this with what I call the Goldilocks principle of redistricting. And the reason I call it that is because you can't use too much race. If race is the predominant factor in your redistricting, then you're violating the 14th Amendment. And under a case called Shaw versus Reno, which is a North Carolina case back in 1993, your redistricting plan is going to get thrown out. On the other hand, if you try to do redistricting and you don't include race at all, you're going to get sued under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Because, for example, Hispanics, African Americans are going to claim that you didn't create any districts in which they can elect their candidate of choice. So you can't use race too much, but you do have to use race somewhat to do this. And the problem is this area is so confusing and so chaotic that you never really know whether you're okay in what you're doing. And the other problem here, and this is something that was talked about in another case out of North Carolina called Cooper v. Harris just 2 years ago, is that, and this is something that Justice Alito pointed out, he said this, If around 90% of African American voters cast their ballots for the Democratic candidate, as they have in recent elections, a plan that packs Democratic voters will look very much like a plan that packs African American voters. And there's the problem. Judges have a very difficult time trying to differentiate between what the Voting Rights Act is supposed to prohibit, which is actual racial discrimination, and partisan redistricting because of this monolithic block of voters. And unfortunately, the Voting Rights Act today, particularly in these vote dilution cases, is being used purely for partisan political reasons. The other thing I would tell you is, and this is something I would urge all of you to consider, and that is, up until now, states have used total population when doing redistricting. All of you need to seriously consider switching to using citizen population to do redistricting. Now, the census data is important for two reasons. The first is apportionment, because as you know, what's going to happen after the census data comes in based on the total population of the U.S., they're going to reapportion each state and how many congressional seats they have. Because they use total population, states with large numbers of aliens, particularly illegal aliens, are getting more political power than they would if we use citizen population, which I personally think is fundamentally unfair.